Thank you, choir. There are so many things going on that are exciting, that lead to greater growth, that lead to being challenged to move deeper. Being in our choir, being on a worship team, being part of BCOV Kids, coming to the Sunday school class, going on the women's retreat, well, not all men, but the women's retreat. I want to encourage you to look for these opportunities, these invitations to go deeper, to be carried out further. There are so many options. And God is using us well. The theme in worship during these first weeks in the fall now has been essential practices, which are those really important actions of faith that we do, that we put into practice. We don't just do these by rote, or that was never the intention. The intention is to get fully engaged with life of faith through these essential practices, and to use our hearts and our minds and our bodies to be fully engaged. The practices that we've been focusing on now in the fall are listed on the bottom of the prayer notes page. Worship, knowing God's word, prayer, and response, which is obedience. And today, the focus is on prayer. With the focus being on prayer, the part of the Bible I'm going to read comes from the middle of Jesus' most well-known sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. In Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount captures so much about what Jesus taught. If you want to get a glimpse into the heart of Jesus, turn to Matthew 5 through 7. If you want to have an understanding of how he wants his followers actually to live faith, Matthew 5 through 7. If you want to get a clear sense of who Jesus is and what he's all about, Matthew 5 through 7. These are words for life. So turn your Bibles to Matthew 5, or actually Matthew 6, beginning at verse 5. And you'll see it's right here in the middle of this sermon when Jesus turns his focus to prayer. When you pray, he says, when you pray. Interesting, isn't it? He doesn't say, if you pray, or if you want to try this at home on your own. He says, when you pray. There's a built-in expectation here that those who are listening and following, or even just listening to Jesus, that they'll pray. Faith and following and listening and growing is all wrapped together in prayer. And then he continues, when you pray, don't be hypocritical. Don't be like the hypocrites. And the word he used here, initially in Aramaic and then translated into Greek, the word hypocrite originally referred to an actor, to someone reading lines up on stage, maybe behind a mask. When you pray, he says, don't pray like a hypocrite. Don't play act. Don't pretend. Don't pray with an eye toward performance or making an impression like an actor would do. When you pray, simply pray. Be honest. Pray. I'll read the rest of the passage in a moment. But first of all, I want to affirm something about who we are, this unique mix of people that's here today. The fact that we are all over the map in terms of prayer. Without even knowing all the particular details about all of you, I know that we are all over the map in terms of prayer. There are some here today who live and breathe a life of prayer, prayers. There are prayers among us who are like a woman who told me one time something very much like this about her life in prayer. She said, prayer for me is getting sweeter and richer with each week. I wake up praying. I pray for people I know and I pray for people I see in the news. Sometimes I pray all through the news. I pray about people and things all day long as I go about my life. And I'm praying as I drift off into dreams at night. It's getting sweeter and richer all the time. There was no boasting in what she was saying. She was talking about this gift that had been given to her to pray. And it was getting sweeter and richer all the time, this wonder of having received this gift that God gives to us to come to Him in prayer with everything. There are quite a few people in this church who live their lives along those lines as prayers with all kinds of variation. And I am so very grateful for the prayers among us. For you who pray for others with passion and consistency, who pray for people listed in the prayer notes, who pray for our neighborhood, who pray for our denomination, who pray for this world. You who have your prayer eyes on Kenya and Nigeria and Syria and North Minneapolis and this neighborhood around us. People who passionately and continually pray for God to intervene on behalf of others and to intervene in the raw evil of this world. I am so very grateful to be the pastor of a church where there are prayers like this. We are grateful. There are also people here today, who more than likely hardly pray at all. Nada. Maybe a brief prayer before a meal, or praying with the kids at bedtime to get them down. It becomes part of a routine. Or maybe when there's a formal event. But prayer for some is not really a personal practice at all. Maybe it's a routine. Not that routines are bad, but it's meant to be personal. Someone told me some time back that this, being in worship on Sunday morning, that this is the only time of the week when they pray. That's it. Life is really busy and prayer is not on the list. And another person, someone who had hardly ever been in church before. After worship one Sunday, this person said to me, "You guys sure pray a lot. It was like 100 times. And you know, for somebody who doesn't go to church, it was really weird. But I liked it." "You do this all the time?" And I said, "Yeah." I'm really, really grateful that Bloomington Covenant Church is a place where we can be open and honest about how we are with this. I'm really grateful that this is a place where increasingly we can be really real about where we are and how we are. And that there's not a built-in assumption here that to be part of Christ's church, you have to have it all put together. It's what Eric was talking about being really honest and asking the questions. We're all over the map in terms of our journeys with Christ as well as with prayer. But whether you are a long-time active prayer, or whether up to this point you hardly pray at all, or wherever you are on that continuum, by God's grace, there is so much more up ahead. By the power of His Holy Spirit, by answered prayers, He's not leaving us alone. He's calling us forward. And He's moving us deeper in all kinds of ways, including our life together in prayer. I love the way that a Norwegian bishop, Ole Hallesby, described prayer. He wrote, "To pray is to let Jesus come into our hearts. To pray is to lie in the sunshine of His grace, and to expose our distress of body and soul to His healing rays." What a beautiful way to describe prayer. Prayer is allowing Jesus access to the deepest parts of who we are so that His healing rays can shape our lives to fit His. Prayer is an essential practice. Prayer is at the core of who we are as a church. That's the prayed-for intention behind BCOV Kids, to help our children and youth and families know Him in real and living ways and to keep moving deeper. That's the prayed for intention behind the Covenant Pines Bible Camp, the summer program, and the day camp ministry we had here this summer, and these 12 children who gave their lives to Jesus. It's the prayed for intention of confirmation and Sunday school and youth groups to welcome Jesus in and to know him. It's the driving force between our Clouds of Hope ministry and Loaves and Fishes and our Daybreak Task Force, inviting him in to change us and use us to bring change to this world, praying that we can be used more and more fully with the gifts he gives us. It's the intention behind our core group ministry and our church boards and what we do here in worship. And this is why we have this adult Sunday school class on prayer right now that is so excellent. All of it in order to become more and more the people who Jesus invites us to be. To know him and his healing rays at work on us. And to bring this with us into this sin-stained, broken, hurting world all around us. Prayer is essential. It is a gift given to us by God to be used and to grow into. Prayer is a gift given to us by God to seek him and to know him and to grow in faith and to put this into actual practice. And it's not just about us and about our lives. Prayer is also given to us to plead for this world. This world that is filled with the evil of terrorism and terror and drive-by shootings and racism and human trafficking and young people who go off the grid and their families don't know where they are. A world in high rebellion to the ways of God, and we are called to pray. It is essential for us to be prayers. Praying for whatever place on that continuum we are. Seeking God's will. And seeking for him to use us more fully, even in ways that make us nervous because we don't know what he's going to do next. And there is always more to grow into with prayer. Always, as Thomas Merton put it, and Thomas Merton was a monk whose life vocation was prayer. Thomas Merton wrote, "We do not want to be beginners at prayer. But we will never be anything but beginners all our life." Prayer is something that we will never fully master. We will never explore every possible corner. We will never fully understand the mechanics of prayer with God. But it is a gift and a practice that is accessible to every single one of us in the room. It is accessible to every single one of us. And therefore, beginners that we all are in prayer, there is no better place to frame our sense of prayer than what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. I'll read from Matthew 6, 5 through 15. "And when you pray," Jesus said, "do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sid and I once team taught through the Lord's Prayer. I was at a family camp in New Hampshire, and we taught for 5 days. We together prepared for weeks and weeks and weeks, studying, reading, praying together, asking God to help us grasp more fully this prayer that I've just read, Jesus' prayer. At the end of those weeks and weeks of preparation and those 5 days of teaching and leading, we had just scratched the surface of this prayer and all that it means. So I'm not by any means going to take those 5 days of teaching and condense them down into the few minutes we have left here. But I do want to bring out three salient parts of the prayer, and then we'll close. First of all, this first part of the prayer, and keep your Bibles open here, Matthew 6, beginning at verse 9. This first part of the prayer, it reveals to us who God is. God is not remote, but close. Close enough that we are invited to call Him Father. The opening words of Jesus' prayer point this out. Our Father. He begins with this. Our Father. When you pray, pray in this way. Our Father. It's recognizing that we are invited to be in this relationship with our Heavenly Father. And heaven not being light years away and very remote, but the kingdom of heaven that He is working amongst us. The kingdom Jesus came to usher in. The kingdom that we are invited to be part of today. And that we are invited to extend through our lives to others today. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, Your name is holy because You are holy. And we pray for Your holy kingdom to come among us. We pray that what You desire will happen. For Your will to be done, for Your will to be what we are doing. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This first part of the prayer, Jesus teaches us about who God is. Holy and growing His kingdom, active in heaven and on earth, but close and personal to us as Father in relationship with us. And if you want to deepen your sense of this prayer, the first part, but also the whole prayer, this prayer that we pray so often together, and I know that sometimes it ends up being humana, humana, amen, that we just roll through it and the words don't stick. Take a few of these words in here, like kingdom or will or name, and cross-reference in your Bible and find out where else they're used. And it fleshes out. It becomes deeper and richer. Because what we pray in this prayer, and all the way through this prayer, it is embedded throughout Scripture. There is so much distilled right here. With the first part of this prayer being about who God is, the second part of the prayer is about who we are. We are full of need. We need help. We are sinners who need forgiveness. And in Jesus, we are forgiven sinners, but we need help forgiving others. We are tempted in endless ways. And we can so easily bend toward those temptations, rationalizing them along the way. And we are subject to the power of the evil one who gains footholds in lives in ways that are so seductive. And so we pray for His intervention. Moment by moment and day by day. Oh God, our Father, supply our daily needs, forgive our sins, help us to forgive others. And this is how it's paraphrased in the Message. Keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil. This prayer, as short as it may seem, it's huge. And it is really, really bold. And we pray it so often together at the beginning of worship here. It is a bold, daring, risky prayer to pray. It sprawls out in every direction. Heaven to earth, daily needs, forgiveness, temptation, the power of evil. It's a prayer of praise to God while at the same time a passionate plea for help. And when you pray this prayer from your heart, as the theologian N.T. Wright puts it, when you pray it from your heart, you can't do so from a safe distance. Because you can only pray it when you are saying yes to God's kingdom coming alive in you, and we don't know what God might do next. So, third point. First one is about prayer reveals who God is. Secondly, it reveals who we are. And thirdly, laced through it all, kind of like the music behind the words, is the beauty of what we receive. That through Jesus Christ, we are recipients. We receive. We are recipients of His grace, recipients of His forgiveness, recipients of answered prayer, recipients of protection, recipients of promptings by the Holy Spirit. We receive. Through yielding our lives to Jesus and seeking His will above our own through prayer. Remember how that Norwegian bishop put it? We let Jesus come into our hearts. To pray is to lie in the sunshine of His grace and to expose our distress of body and soul to His healing rays. To pray. To receive. Receiving what we can then give to others. Essential in receiving and sharing is prayer. Turning our mind toward, opening our heart to, yielding our resistant will over to God through Jesus Christ. This is prayer, and this is essential. In this far-flung mix of people that we are today, and we are a totally unique gathering, we have an endless list of things that we need. And as we pray together here in worship, but also as we go through this day and in all the days praying, all the days ahead praying as beginners, I hope and I pray that every single one of us in this room, that every single one of us will pray for God to give us what He knows we need. And that we will receive from Him what only He gives. And that we would pray for this world that so desperately needs people moving forward in the power of prayer by the Holy Spirit. So I'll close with this. It's from the devotional book, Jesus Calling, that I know quite a few of you are using on a daily basis. And this is from the reading from yesterday when I was really struggling to figure out how to preach today. This is an uphill battle all week long coming to this point of preaching. So hear these words as if spoken from Jesus to you. I invite you to close your eyes. Open your mind and heart, your entire being, to receive my love in full measure. So many of my children limp through their lives, starved for love, because they haven't learned the art of receiving. This is essentially an act of faith. Believing that I love you with boundless, everlasting love. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask together that we would be carried out deeper in this life together with you and this gift of prayer. That our hearts would pump most strongly within your will. That our heart's desire would be your desire. And Lord, for any here today who have been resistant, who have not wanted to yield to you, Lord, I pray that today would be a new beginning, that you would breathe new life in. So once again, we commit ourselves to you, the people around us, and ourselves, asking for your will to be done. Your kingdom to come, and for your Holy Spirit to move. We do so in your name. Amen.